Colossians chapter 3, I will not be long in this lesson, and I'll quickly give you some thoughts on the subject of thanksgiving, Colossians chapter 3, and I'm not going to read the verses yet. I'll get to those in just a moment, and I'll give you some thoughts here. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the fun we can have in service. Thank you for this time of the year, this special, special holiday, probably the most God-centered holiday of our entire American holidays, and so we're grateful for the opportunity to observe it. Help us to be mindful of your blessings, not just Thursday, but year-round. Help me tonight. Thank you for the fun we've had. Thank you for the men that participated and helped us tonight. In Christ's name, amen. You know, being an independent Baptist means we have some strong beliefs. Talked about that a little bit on Sunday night, especially when it comes to our external behavior. Our beliefs about those things determine where we go and what we wear and what we drink, what we watch, and on I could go about that. I wouldn't be anything else but an independent Baptist. I don't want to be anything else but an independent Baptist. But because of our strong beliefs about the external, we have to be careful not to put all the eggs of our spirituality in that one basket. Because spirituality includes the internal as well. If we're concerned about being spiritually complete, spiritually mature. Look at verse number 12 in chapter 3. Paul says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved. And then he goes through a list of graces that we are to put on as children of God. In verse 13, he mentions mercies and kindness and humbleness of mind. You know, the world could use a heaping helping of kindness right now. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. In verse 13, you see forbearance. In verse 13, you see also forgiveness and forgiving one another. In verse 14, you see charity, that love in action. In verse 15, you see peace. And then at the very end of verse number 15, he says, and be ye thankful. So we can dot every I and we can cross every T when it comes to the external. But if we do not pay attention to the internal, then we're not complete spiritually. And one of those graces he listed there is that of thankfulness. And you know, folks, the way he said it, be ye thankful. There's no option with that. It's not if possible, be thankful or consider being thankful. If you think about it, be thankful. It is a plain command. Be ye thankful. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be thankful. Number one, because it's commanded. Number two, because it is part of a spiritual completeness, a spiritual fullness, if you will, a spiritual maturity. You know, complaining and murmuring are signs of immaturity. You know, kids have to be taught not to say things like, you know, they'll be at the dinner table and they'll make this thing, I don't like whatever it is. I don't like this. I don't like that. And, you know, the reason kids have to be taught not to say things like that is because it's part of their nature. It's part of all of our nature. It's that old nature that's in us, that complaining and murmuring is not part of our new nature. And in growing to spiritual maturity, we need to learn, like Paul said, to be ye thankful. So I want to give you three thoughts tonight about things for which we can be thankful and should be thankful all year round, not just this season. These are simple. You probably figured out what they were when I get started. Number one, you need to be thankful for family. For family. Look, Cameron and Megan planned to go to Louisiana for Thanksgiving. It was the Thanksgiving in Louisiana. Christmas will be here in Bourbonnais with Marty and Maude. Those of you that have married children, you get that, okay? They plan to leave Monday morning. So, you know, if you've ever been away from home, long distance, they're 12 hours from home. If you've ever been a long distance from home and you're planning to go home, you can't wait till the day comes till you leave. And so the day that they're leaving, at 4 o'clock in the morning, his mom calls, Cameron, your dad is dead. Heart attack. On the day they were leaving. You put yourself in that young man's place. That's difficult. It's difficult anytime to lose, but the high of I'm going to see Dad and Mom. And now Dad's not there. And you know, there are many families in our church who will spend their first Thanksgiving with an empty seat at the table this Thanksgiving. That is always difficult. The firsts, holidays especially. And if you're one of the families with an empty seat at the table, this is just advice, I guess. Be thankful for the person who used to occupy that seat. Don't spend all the time grieving over the empty seat. Thank God for the privilege of having known them for the years that they were on earth. And what was that person to you? Mom? Dad? Brother? Sister? Sister-in-law? Grandparent? Child? What was that person to you? You know, thank God for the memories you have of them and the time spent together here. And if they were saved, thank God for the hope of seeing them again in that wonderful place that we know as heaven. So don't grieve over the empty seat. Now you will some, but try to rejoice in the opportunity you had in knowing that person. And if you're getting together with the family for the holiday and all the seats are full, you know, be especially thankful for every person in their seat. Because one of these days, a seat will be empty. That's how it happens. You think about how quickly a seat can become empty. So you'd be grateful for the role that every one of those people fill in your life. You know, there are a couple of graces listed here that can help us rightly be thankful for the people who occupy the seats around the table. And those are found in verse 13. That's forbearing and forgiving. And I believe we all get the concept of forgiveness. Forgiveness is necessary when somebody has wronged us. It requires grace to do that. But God's grace is as sufficient for that need as it is for any other need we face. You just need to claim it. And the truth is, you need to want to claim it. You know, sometimes people who get hurt by others, they just want to hang on to the misery and the hurt that the wrong caused instead of being free of it. Forgiveness is necessary in order to be thankful for those around the table. Now, you know, not long ago, I was talking to a young person who was treated, in my opinion, a little less than fair by an authority figure. And I won't say where. It was home, church, school. I won't say with the three. Someone went overboard reacting to a situation, and there was obvious hurt in the young person's heart. I could see it in their eyes and the quivering lips. And I don't think they were having a pity party. In my opinion, there was overreaction. And in that circumstance, the young person has two choices. They can either let it go and forgive and be free from it, or they can hang on to it and be tormented by the bitterness of unforgiveness. And when you read the Bible, you learn that unforgiveness gives Satan an advantage. Unforgiveness talks about that. Lest Satan have an advantage over us. You know, if there's a football team, so the Packers are going to play the Bears, and somebody walks into Hallis Hall on Monday of playing Packers next Sunday, and they hand the coach of the Bears the offensive and defensive playbook for the Green Bay Packers. I mean, it's absolutely accurate. It's got every defensive scheme, every offensive scheme, every offensive play, and gives it to the Bears. That puts them at an advantage, right? Gives the Bears an advantage. Do you understand? When we don't practice forgiveness, we give Satan an advantage. I know what some of you are thinking. Well, it wouldn't matter. The Bears would never beat the Packers, even with their playbook. Some of what you're thinking. But my point is a little more spiritual than that, all right? The point is, seriously, you give Satan an advantage when you don't practice forgiveness, okay? There's a lot of good that, when I was talking to that young person, there's a lot of good that the authority figure has done that touches that young person's life. And that needs to be dwelled on, not the overreacting. Forgiveness is necessary in order to be thankful. Be thankful when you're thinking of your family. But forbearance is necessary as well. Forbearance is needed when someone annoys us. When someone has peculiarities that we don't care for about their personality. Forbearance is when someone does something different than how we do it and we believe our way is better. Forbearance is necessary in order to be thankful for family. So be ye thankful for family. Second of all, be ye thankful for friends. Be ye thankful for friends. You know, you don't get to choose your family, but you do get to choose your friends. And if you have a friend that you're not thankful for, you only have yourself to blame. You think about it. You should be thankful for your friends. Friendships are very important. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know, choose wise friends who influence you properly, and you'll have much to be thankful for in life about those friends. You know, Psalm 1 talks about the happy man. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man. That happy man makes some wise choices in life when it comes to friends. There was a layer of protection that kept him from becoming a scorner. The last thing you ever want to become, folks, as a child of God, is a scorner. Scorners are not well received by God. In fact, there's a verse in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34, talking about the Lord. It says, surely he scorneth the scorners. In other words, God gives them a taste of their own medicine. And in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 29, judgments are prepared for scorners. That's what the Word of God says. So this man in Psalm chapter 1, he insulated himself from being a scorner. And the way he did that was he made a wise choice about his friends. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So his friendships are solid. His friendships are sure. He doesn't want God to scorn him. He doesn't want any part of the judgment coming to scorners. He doesn't want to end up with the scorners. So he insulates himself from the scorners. He does that by staying away from standing with sinners. And he does that also by not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. It all begins with his friendships. His friendships and who he allows to influence him. And you know, the truth of the matter is, folks, to put it plainly, when your friendships are right and you have a circle of friends that encourage you when it comes to the things of God, they challenge you in the things of God. And that's a good friend. When you have a friend whose life challenges you in the things of God, that's a good friend. And you're a blessed person when you have friends like that. So be thankful for friends. Be grateful for the Jonathan. Remember the Jonathan-David relationship? Be thankful for the Jonathans in your life whose own faith is an example to you and helps to fan the flames of your love for God and your dedication to God. So be ye thankful for family. Be ye thankful for friends. And then lastly tonight, be ye thankful for faith. I'm not talking about Baptist Church. I'm talking about your faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34 says, for some have not the knowledge of God. 2 Thessalonians 3, 2 says, for all men have not faith. So there are some in this world who have not yet been blessed to receive all the knowledge of God that we have received. We've received a lot of knowledge of God. There are others who have received that knowledge and chosen not to believe. Let me ask you a couple of questions tonight. Have you received the knowledge of God? Have you believed? Have you faith? Yes. Are you thankful? You're glad to be saved. Are you grateful that you're not confused about salvation? Think about how many people are out there, they think they're saved because I've always believed. I've always believed. I hear that a lot. I've always believed in God. Well, so have the devils. I'm out to a hill of beans. I'm not trying to be ugly. Understand how many have just added Jesus to every other religious idea out there just to cover all the bases. You don't get saved by adding Jesus to anything. You get saved by trusting Christ and Christ alone, plus nothing and minus nothing. Understand how many have refused to humble themselves and admit that they're not sure of their eternal destiny and they don't take care of it. So tonight, are you one who knows that you came to a point in your life where you understood that you were a sinner and you trusted Jesus to save you? You are born again into God's family. Are you one of those? Are you one who has come to Christ and Christ only, bringing no work of your own, but solely trusting in his death, burial, and resurrection to save you? Are you one of those? Are you one who humbled yourself and admitted that you wanted to go to heaven and you needed Christ? Are you one of those? If you're one of those, be thankful. We did nothing to earn that. We did nothing to deserve that. We did nothing to merit that. We are simply recipients of God's grace. I'm thankful for family. I'm thankful for friends. And I'm thankful for faith. I would not want to be a lost person growing up in this chaotic world right now. My goodness. What a mess. So be you thankful tonight. It was not an option. Paul said, be you thankful. That's on the inside, a grateful heart. And that's what all of us, not just at Thanksgiving time, but it's on our minds right now. So be you thankful. Get together with family on Thursday. Be thankful for those seated at the table. And for that empty seat, be thankful that you knew them and they were a part of your life and all they did to put into your life. Be thankful for your friends and be thankful for your faith. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll help us this season and beyond this season to have a thankful heart. It's a part of growing in grace. It's a part of becoming spiritually mature, spiritually complete. Lord, we can and should take a strong stand about our external behavior, not minimizing that. But if we do that, God, neglect the internal graces that you talked about here, we're not full. We're not complete. And it's challenging to read down through that list. Kindness, humbleness, forbearance, forgiveness, charity, and then be thankful. Will you help us to grow in that grace? Will you help us, Lord, to be full spiritually, both externally and internally? And we'll thank you for it. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, just a moment to pray. Thankful for family, thankful for friend, thankful for faith. Spend a little time thinking about that the next couple days, maybe on Thursday especially. Family, friends, and faith.